Hey, we are on essay number 3 of Quintus Achering. It can be found in the top numbers on page Kuf Nun Dalid, which corresponds to page 307 if you're doing top numbers. This is an essay which is a question that was brought up in chapter 39 and 40 about Kavana. The Alter Rebbe brings up a point when he's talking there in 39 and chapter 40 in Lamitas and Mem about having Kavana when a person davens, when a person learns. And having a Kavana when a person davens is much more important than when a person learns, because when a person davens, if they don't have any Kavana, so it says it's like a body without a soul. You know, you're doing something, you're saying the words, but it's not flying anywhere.
Right.
Whereas Torah, if a person doesn't have like kavanas of love and fear and Hashem, so it's still something because the person's learning Torah. It is going into his head. So this is the point that he's going to address here right now. Again, we're in essay number 3. So now, in reference to this, you can understand that which is written in the Kabbalah, in the writings of the Arizal, which are written down by Chaim Vital, specifically in Shar Yechudim Perek Beis, says over there that if a person is learning Torah without the proper intention, not that he's doing it shalol lishma, he says later on, shalol lishma, forget about it. The person's doing it for the wrong reason, so then his Torah doesn't fly at all. It gets stuck in the klippa. You mentioned that before. Here he's talking about the person just learning stam. He's not learning to get any closer to Hashem. He's learning because, you know, he's learning.
He's learning.
Just, that's it, he's just learning. So his kavana creates malachim in olam hayitzira, meaning to say that his Torah is elevated out of this world. Oh, it's out of this world. Out of this world and into the realm of Yetzirah. V'shamhevi ma'haz Zohar, and there the Zohar brings in Parsha Shlach, the leis kala di'is abid kulu bar kala deraisa, the tzalusa salik ubika. I love this Aramaic, believe me. There is no voice lost except the voice of Torah and davening that ascends and pierces. Meaning that when a person is going to davening with Kavana seems to be able to accomplish more than learning with Kavana.
Okay.
But so you would think then if you're going to do it parallel, so learning without Kavana should be on the same parallel, the same relationship as davening without Kavana. But as it switches, davening with Kavana accomplishes much greater things than learning with Kavana. But davening without Kavana doesn't go anywhere, and davening and learning with Kavana, at least you're learning, you're doing something.
It makes more sense, actually.
Okay, so...
But geometrically it makes sense. You're davening with Kavana, you're further away from the neutral point. You're davening without Kavana, you're farther away from it.
Correct. And when you're learning...
When you're learning with Kavana, you're not as far as davening with Kavana. You're learning without Kavana.
It's an inverse.
Yeah.
It's an inverse.
It makes sense.
Yeah. So now.
But I didn't know that before you said it.
Okay.
So
it says now, Kavana be'atfila nivraya u malachim be'olam habriya. Kavana satera. So if a person is sitting and learning, he's meditating, and in great intellectual love that's talked about in the first 18 chapters of Tanya, and that's how he's presenting himself when he's learning. So because it's intellectually motivated, so then the davening is elevated to the world of Bria. Okay, Bria is called Olam HaMachshava, and Yetzira is called Olam HaMidos, and it's also alluded to when we assign letters of Yud Kei Vav Kei to the four worlds, that Bria gets the Hey, the first Hey, which corresponds to Bina,
right,
and Yetzirah gets the Vav, which corresponds to the Midas. Mm-hmm. And then Atzilus and Asiya get the Yud in the latter Hey.
Right.
Okay, so the davening, so when you're davening and learning and you're doing it with this intellectual motivation, which is drawing a person closer to Hashem, which is the way that you're supposed to do it, so then the Torah that a person is learning is elevated to Olam Habriya. Okay, why is this important? Let's back up a bit. Person davens. Yeah, so what? He davened. Why do we want the davening that has to go to you know, some geographical location? You know, we need to get our GPS. Where's my davening going? And specifically, what we don't want is like the story with the Baal Shem Tov, that the Baal Shem Tov was traveling with an entourage, and he stopped for mincha at a certain shul.
Right.
And he walked in the shul, he walked out, and he said, what's the problem? He said, the shul's filled with davening and learning.
Right.
Which, what's the problem with a shul filled with davening and learning? He says, because the people were doing it with such an ulterior motive that the davening didn't elevate, it stayed down. Okay, but those people were still davening, they're still learning. And the Al Rebbe himself goes into a whole pilpul on the explanation of that a person the person should always learn at least for the wrong reason, because if he learns for the wrong reason, he'll come to the right reason. The whole big pilpul, the simple pshat is you just do it and eventually you'll get it right, is what the pshat is.
Right.
But the Alter Rebbe explains there, and he's going to bring it up over here, that it was shemitesh loy lishma bo lishma, that when a person learns now that thing lishma, the shalol lishma, that when he learns it, shalol lishma also gets elevated.
Right.
So he should learn it for the wrong reason. When he learns it for the right reason, meaning that he did shuv, he felt bad for the fact that he learned it for the wrong reason, and now he's learning it for the right reason.
Right.
So he goes back and he learns it again, and that's going to elevate the shalol lishma, the stuff which is stuck down here. Or as the case may be, if he learns it really for some ulterior motive, so he's actually driving the Torah that he's learning at the Klippa. Okay, so davening, with doing it with the right reason, davening and learning, if you're doing it without an intellectual love or just a merely emotional thing, so it seems to be accomplishing the same thing. Below kavana nitchis lamata legamri. Okay, but davening without proper kavana is cast down entirely. Okay, what's the deal over here? It goes back to the davening without a kavana is like a body without a soul. Because what's the whole purpose? What's the purpose? What happens when we learn? Okay, so your misyach, he says back in chapter 5, you create a yichud because the kaddish baruch hu b'chachmasa v'atzmasa with your chachma and your etzim, and that she becomes a yichud shlifloshe and yichud kamayu, that you're united with Hashem in an ultimate unity, like there's no unity like it at all when you're sitting and learning, because now your brain is permeated with the Torah. Wonderful thing. Okay? So that's what's happening. So when a person's learning, so they're sitting there learning, they're getting smarter, they got pieces of information, they'll do better at Jewish trivia, chasa shalom, all kinds of things that, you know, will be beneficial to this person sitting and learning, even if he's not learning for the right reason. But what's the whole purpose of davening? The whole purpose of davening is multifaceted. But in each instance, the person has to be thinking, well, what am I davening for? And one of the simple idea of davening is that davening is to create a connection between the davener and Hashem. And that's done not by the physical saying of the words, that's done by the kavana that the person has when they're saying the words. So when they're davening without any kavana, so it's not flying anywhere. Does that mean that a person should get discouraged? Because how many of us could daven like that? You know, so the ideal would be you shouldn't daven with no kavana. And at the very onset, at the very least, when a person davens Shmeina Esrei, what they should at least be thinking, at least in the back of their mind, be aware that the Anshei Knesset HaGedolah, the men of the Great Assembly, put a whole lot of meaning into the davening. More than I could possibly come up and think with in the course of a davening. All the things which are entailed in every single word of davening. So a person could think, listen, Hashem, when I daven, it's basically I'm going ditto to what the men of the Great Assembly said. Whatever they said, I agree with them. Whatever their intention was, I'm doing that one too. Mm. Okay, so at least that should be that's like a baseline davening. If a person doesn't have the wherewithal to put any great effort into their davening, so at least daven, I'm gonna have in mind whatever the men of the Great Assembly had. We say this also when we say Tilla Mashavas Avarchim, so we also say, there's that paragraph that we say, and listen, Hashem, consider it the way I say Tillam, please you should consider it as though David said the Tillam. Little difference between the way I say Tillam and the way King David says Tillam. So instead of taking into whatever I'm accomplishing by my Tillam, which what could I possibly be accomplishing by my Tillam, I ask Hashem, please consider it as though David HaMelech said it. Okay, and Hashem is such that just because you're asking, Hashem says, okay, Hashem can do that. There are more footnotes in this note than there are note. Gairakia tata kulu, that it reaches to the lowest firmament, the lowest heaven. The ikun salusa pisulin. And prayers without any kavana are called pusul, invalid. Okay, and like I want to say that it shouldn't be that the person should feel, well, my davening is invalid anyway, because we always have that thing, jalol lishma, bol lishma. Today you're okay, so you're not so hot. Okay, so tomorrow you'll be better. And tomorrow, when you're better, okay, there is actually, I don't know if it's from the Gemara, or it's just a custom, or it's from some written primary book, but it says that the Hasidim of the Alter Rebbe, the normal Hasidim, not the guys that were Oist Velters that could daven for 10 hours a day, a shachar, it's not those guys, the normal people. Okay, so that they would daven, they had a regular minyan, and the Alter Rebbe was of the opinion that a shachar's minyan should be an hour and a quarter. So, and as far as we're concerned, they daven slow, we would call all of those guys tzaddikim, because they took an hour and a quarter to daven shachar's every day. Even they, it says, would not try to have kavana in every bracha in Shemayna Esrei. Shemayna Esrei is too long. You're going to have kavana in every bracha in Shemayna Esrei, it's going to take an hour. You know, to all the meanings and intentions. So what would they do is they had a sitter with a bookmark or with a dog ear or something, or a dog ear of the pages, to as to where they were up to. So that in the course of a period of time, they would have kavana on every bracha. And like this, it was patched together. It's like spare parts. You know, you got this one for this one. You take that one for that one. You know, from the 2012 Toyota, you take the air conditioner. And from the 2009 when you take the radio. I mean, you know, so... and you put it together and voila, you got a working automobile. So this is the same thing with the davening the person's supposed to do. It's not expected. We do today, in 2016, we do not have the brain power to start Hodu and end Ach Tzadikim and have paid attention the whole time. I seriously doubt that there is a person alive today that can actually do that. Even since the Gemara, 2,000 years ago, or whatever, 1,500 years ago, you're guaranteed that you're going to lose focus during davening. You're going to think about other things. It's just, that's the way our brains are. We just don't have the brain capacity to do it. So it's expected of us, okay, so today you'll have intention on this part, and tomorrow you'll have a connection on the next part, and then the day after that you'll have on that part. And so eventually what'll happen is you'll have a whole davening will have been completed, voila, bravo. You did it. And then he says, Ayin Sham, Pirashis Vayakil Dafresh Aleph Amadeis, Iha Mila Kedaki Yais. That it all could be done in one word. That, as we said, that the davening, so every word of davening is important. The Baal Shem Tov, one of the things, secondary thing that happens with davening, that you have to have some kind of mind, presence of mind to do, is as the Baal Shem Tov says what we should utilize davening for, as the greatest tool we have for refining our Nefesh HaBahamas. So if a person is going to refine the Nefesh HaBahamas, they have to have in mind that I'm doing this to refine my Nefesh HaBahamas. It's also our Kavana. The Baal Shem Tov suggests, this is in the Keser Shem Tov, that a person should have in mind, when they're davening Shemayna Esrei, some bad character trait that they have, that they would like Hashem to help them fix. And the Baal Shem Tov suggests that a person think about that for every davening for a month. That please Hashem, help me with this character trait. And the person, if they don't feel that at the end of the person should feel at the end of the month, they'll take stock and they'll see that the character trait is not as bad as it was before. It could even be good. And he says if need be, he should do it for another month. So, but by 2 months,
that if he had accomplished or had not,
if he had not accomplished it,
he should do it for another month.
Do it for another month. Okay. But for sure, he says for sure 3 months. It should for sure be done. And if you're thinking about it, that a person is going to focus for 90 davenings, which is how many davenings you daven in a month. He's going to focus 90 davenings on one thing. I really not like this to have this character trait anymore. Please help me. So just the fact that the person is focused on it 3 times a day for a month on something that they want to change. I don't like that I do this. Okay, so with every therapist will tell you, every psychologist and social worker and psychiatrist will say that they're not going to change you. You have to do the changing. So here it is. This person says, I have this character trait I don't like. So, okay, good. So if you don't like it, do something about it. And by the end of the month, you should be tired already of thinking about that one specific character trait. So improve it already. Take care of it. Okay, so that involves also some kind of kavana. Okay, and it could be done one word at a time. But he says, davening and learning, the difference between them without kavana is understood by itself. That when a person is sitting and learning, so they understand what it is that they're learning. Because if he didn't understand what he was reading, that's not called learning. That's called mumbling words. So the very barest minimum of learning is that the person has to understand what they're doing. It's the person, it said learning without kavana. It didn't say mumbling without kavana. So the person has to understand what it is that he's learning. Okay, and then he's now, since our who we are is basically a composition of all the bits of information and input of environment that has been accumulated within our brain. So every time a person learns something, then they've just added something to their persona. They have become a smarter person, if you like, because they now know something more that they didn't know yesterday. So it says it's impossible for a person to learn with no kavana. Because if the person isn't engaging his brain
right. In
this whole meditative thing about why they're learning and how they're learning and what they're accomplishing with all the esoteric factions within, so the person is learning, and what is it that is causing this person to learn stam? Not that he's learning for some ulterior motive. This person is just sitting and learning. Okay? It's because they have this Ava Misuteris it's talked about
right. In
chapter 18.
Right. Right.
And it's the Ava Misuteris, this hidden love,
right.
Which is the impetus to get this person to
do something.
To learn. So therefore, there is automatically, as soon as a person opens up the book without even thinking about it, there already is an expression of the natural love that a Jew has for Hashem,
right.
Which is the impetus for why he's learning Torah. So we do. So the person does have some kind of moniker of kavana,
right.
And therefore, even if he's not learning with this great fiery passionate love desire to get closer to Hashem, which would get him into the world of Bria, so he'll get into the world of Yetzirah, which is where natural love is found. which is a whole lot better than having it stick around down here. Provided that he's not learning for the wrong reason, like, for example, that everybody should see his greatness. The Alter Rebbe hated this and instilled in all of his Chassidim, and we talked about it I don't know how many times, that there is no greater expression of vile humanity than a person who is learning so that other people will recognize that how great they are.
That he's learning, yeah.
Okay, that's as low a human being as it possibly is, according to the Alter Rebbe. So it says, this is that it didn't go up. This is like a verse based in Ecclesiastes, which is Kohelis.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's a parody of it.
Mm.
Because it doesn't go higher than the sun. Okay, now what does he mean over there? What's his intention by saying that it doesn't go higher than the sun? Is when a person is learning, and he's learning Lishma, and he's learning for the right reason, so his Torah is not tachas hashemesh. It's not under the sun, it's above the sun.
Yeah.
The Torah precurses creation. Before Hashem said Bereishis bara, there was already the Torah. And so the Torah that a person is learning, they're learning with the right reason, so that's the Torah that is coming from higher than Seder Histalshelus, higher than the creation process.
Right.
Once a person starts putting in their own self-motivation, their self aggrandizement,
there we go,
and or some other ulterior motive, which is for their own profit,
right.
So now the Torah that they're learning is the Torah which is under the sun. Okay, this is a lower level of Torah because this person has, for all intents and purposes, schlepped down the will and wisdom of Hashem under the dominion of the Klippa, because he himself is stuck in Klippa.
Amen.
And wants to stay stuck in Klippa, but he wants to learn, so he schleps the Klippa, the Torah, into the Klippa.
Turn the mud.
Bring your teacher to your tail.
Yes.
But you have to come teach him.
Because his thought and his kavana are enclosed themselves in the letters of speech, and it's not allowing the Torah to rise up. So what happens is under normal circumstances, the words of the davening, the words of the learning,
right,
should be elevated. What happens is this guy puts his own business into it, and so what happens is it makes the words too heavy. They can't fly up. Okay, so it doesn't. So it doesn't. His ulterior motive doesn't allow it. It makes the words too heavy. And it's the same thing also. If a person's davening, and instead of focusing on the davening, he's thinking about everything else, which that would be called the machshava zara. Because the only thing you're allowed to think about when you're davening is davening.
Right.
Okay. Like the Uncle Yossi song from the Country Yossi song, which the words of the chorus are, when you're davening to Hashem.
Right.
Okay, so Country Yossi understood this, and they conveyed this to little kids.
Right.
You know, and on the contrary, it talks about the, where is it? It's a Gemara. I don't remember the name of the two proponents of the story, but one of the proponents said that the learning of the children, the little children in school, is what Hashem cherishes the most. And in, he's going to say later that such words are actually elevated to the world of Atzilus. Okay. So another rabbi stood up and said, what? The translation is my own. Mine and your Torah is chopped liver.
pretty much.
We're sitting here and we're steiging away and we're getting into all this deep esoteric stuff. And you want to tell me that the Aleph Kamatz Alephah, that little kid is learning over there, actually gets elevated to a higher place than where the our learning? He didn't say my learning, he said our, included the guy who said it as well.
Yeah.
He says, you know, you're including yourself, by the way, in the statement.
Yes.
So he said that it is incomparable.
Right.
A person who learns Torah who has no sin as opposed to a person who has sin. And since it is that the Tinaikah Shel Beis Rabban, that the kids that are sitting and learning in school before their bar mitzvah do not have any sins, because they're little kids, they don't have any responsibilities, and therefore the misdeeds that they do are not called their sins. They're the fathers for not teaching the kid to behave. That's why we say a Baruch Patrani by a bar mitzvah. You know, finally I got rid of this kid already. He's on his own. Okay, Elohim Nesha Kavanasa L'Shamayim L'Kach Yesh La'Tikin B'Kal L'Achzer L'Alis K'Mishpal B'Kavana. And generally speaking, it's really kind of hard. I mean, it's possible a person really tried. That a person's going to daven for an ulterior motive?
Yeah.
Okay, the only thing I can think of is I'm going to daven until 3 o'clock so that everybody can say, gee, what a great chassid this guy is.
Yeah.
Okay, but in the meantime, what happens when a person says, I'm going to daven until 3 o'clock?
He's playing with his phone.
No. I'm just saying he's davening. He's sitting there. He's got the towels on his head. He's actually davening for till 3 o'clock. He must be doing something over there.
He's in the right neighborhood.
Yeah.
Something's got to get in there. Osmosis or something.
Something's got to wear off. The
Maybe.
Fact that
this kind of place is open for business.
The fact that he is...
Who's open till 3 in the middle of the day?
The fact that he's sitting and davening until 3 o'clock is... Something must be, you know, he must be doing something to his neshama.
Right here.
So it says that the learning of a child is under bar mitzvah is much higher. It's elevated to the world of Atzilus, even, and it's talked about in the books, because there's no sin attached to it. Okay? And you want to say, but wait a minute, a person who's learning for the right reason, there's no sin attached to his thing either. He's learning for the right reason. Well, there's a big difference between the no attachment and the no attachment. This person who's under the bar mitzvah never had any sins. This person right now, he doesn't have a sin. Okay, so good, Baruch Hashem. So his will get to the world of Bria, but the kids, their davening goes all the way to Atzilus. He says over there, that's why it's possible if a person doesn't daven, it's much easier because, people don't daven for the wrong reason. That's what we were talking about.
Yeah,
and since they're not davening for the wrong reason, and even if they're saying, I want to be done davening at 3 o'clock, everybody should see I'm done davening at 3 o'clock, but they still did something to be done davening at 3 o'clock. They had to do something there. So something's right there. Okay. So it says that what's going to happen is it's very easy, since it is that this is not getting sunk into klippa. He's just saying the words. They're not going anywhere. They're staying right here. So the next time that he davens, those words with kavana, so all those words that have just been lying around over here, they get sucked up to and they go up, they get elevated as well. Mm. Okay, so you don't have that aspect of klippa in davening that's going to affect the actual words to cause the words of davening to sink into klippa like you do with learning. Learning, when a person's learning for his own self-aggrandizement, so he's causing the Torah to sink into klippa. And anytime a person does anything to cause klippa to get bigger, so the first thing they have to do is tshuva. They have to break through the klippa in order to release that stuff that got sunk into the klippa.
Right.
Okay? So it's very silly. Like he says, loose in chapter, the end of chapter 8. End of chapter 7. Okay? So a guy has an adulterous affair. And he feels very sorry about it. In the meantime, a mamzer's born.
Right.
Okay, so you can feel very sorry from today until tomorrow, but what are you going to do about the kid?
It's a mamzer forever.
Kid's a mamzer forever. Exactly. So the fact that this guy felt
of
sorry.
No choice of his own.
Yeah. The fact that this person feels sorry, the chayas that he put into this kid is stuck in klippa.
Right.
This kid.
Yeah, so it's stuck in klippa, and that person, okay, no, so is it possible for a person to do such a level of tshuva? But there's a story involving we told this at the end of when we're learning chapter 7, of the person who married a non-Jew, and he did tshuva to such an extent that his wife and five non-Jewish kids died. Okay, that was the extent of his tshuva. So it is possible such a thing. If you want to know, go back to go listen online, the last section of chapter 7, and there I tell the story. Okay, because how do I know? Because it's where I tell that story, where he talks about a person doing involved with some kind of an illicit relationship and causing the chayas to be clothed in a physical body, that even if he does tshuva, what's he going to do? Because the chayas is stuck down in the body. That's where I tell that story. Okay? I think the parenthesis. Umashi comes of a Parshas Pekudei. And that which is written in the Zohar in Parshas Pekudei, Gairakia Tata, that you're talking about the lower heaven, with Parshas Vayachal Mashi, with the Dafkia, Iyihu Milad Kedekayoi Salkin Ima Ad Avira de Rakia de la Ela. So that one word, that which is stuck down here, will be elevated to the higher levels of the firmament, the higher levels of Elokus. So he says, so that sounds like a contradiction over here. Okay? It says, on one hand, we've been saying that when a person is learning, so the stuff gets stuck. On this hand over here, if you're affirming of these rooms, the conductor of the world refers to the office of the seal. Yeah. So it says that it seems that it does go up. Lo kasha midi. Says it's no question. The rakia tata mi'inan rakia hamidabrim goy almab shivaparsha fakude heima malchus de seal. We're talking about it being stuck down here, so where is it? So what does he mean in Parsha Pekude? You understand, he wrote this for himself, you know. That's in Malchus of Atzilus. And Parshas Vayakel hein zodesia. And in Parshas Vayakel, which was before that, then it's elevated to the level of Zah, of the emotions of the world of action, as it says and explained in Eitz Chaim, Shar HaShemos Perik Gimel Gabi Zah Desiyah Ayin Sham. And you can go look over there. So where are we going to now? So now we're going to wrap up. What's this all about? So what we've been talking about is we've been talking about the idea. And this lasts a little bit till the end of the chapter, so he kind of brings it all together. What happens when a person will go back and learn and daven properly. We said before that if a person davens and has no kavana, that his davening isn't elevated at all. It's called a pasul davening.
Right.
So if that be the case, then so why should a person daven then? Okay, I jokingly say when I have some kind of an early morning appointment, and I have to like daven with the minion and be done before the minion. So as I'm putting on my talis, I say, well, here goes nothing. Because that's what I feel I'm doing. I'm not davening. So it says, so what's to happen then? So it says it's not nothing. It says there's a story that I heard from Schallenberg Gordon that involved two Hasidim, I believe, of the Friedrich Rebbe, could have been the Tzemach Tzedek, and I don't remember the names, but they were sent by the Rebbe to Moscow to do some kind of official something or another. Okay, so the guy wakes up and says, hurry up and daven, we have to get to what do you call it. Okay, so the other guy responded that if you want to tell me that this appointment that we have to go to is more important than my davening, So therefore, what I'm going to do is I'm going to go to the appointment, and then I'll daven. But if you're telling me I have to daven first because davening is more important, then I'm going to daven like I'm supposed to daven. And then we'll get to the appointment.
Right.
Okay, so he says, where was I? So he says, it's so davening, that if a person davens rushed without any proper kavana, so at least it's elevated to the first level. He calls it Heichal HaRishon, the first level from which it can at least attach itself. It can now becomes down and relevant to the world of creation. So there's something going on even when a person davens without any kavana. We said before, because
there's no possibility of davening. There's no probability of davening without a proper intent, because you're davening.
Correct.
So therefore,
it at least
makes it to this upper world.
Correct.
It'll or just upper be level there. Of this
yes.
world, I suppose.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
I lost the place. Vahu bezav b'debriya. Well, go kashim afilu afilu kol avoynis mamish kalus lechamoris oilus l'sham afilu ad heichal hadalit. Moshe goes over Rambam. It says same thing. This person did something wrong. Okay, when a person does something wrong, so they're causing extra vitality to be enclosed in the klipa.
Right.
As he says in chapter 6, that he's basically detached his direct pipeline to godliness, and he's attached it to the forces of evil, and then they attach a secondary pipeline to keep him going so that he can keep on doing the things wrong and get them more godliness. Okay, so that's what it says over there. So even such a thing, like such a situation like that, could be corrected. When a person does tshuva, so what they're doing is detaching their pipeline from the forces of evil and reattaching it back to Hashem directly.
Straight to Hashem, yeah.
Okay, so if that can happen when somebody does something wrong, for sure it could happen when a person is just davening. Right. Hashem bilvad vidal. And there's no comparison or similarity between them at all, the davening that he does wrong and the veras that he does wrong, except that they're both wrong. But it's a whole lot easier to correct a misdavening, a pustle davening as he calls it, than to correct a misdeed.
Mm-hmm.
But you can correct a misdeed, and we all know you can correct misdeeds.
Of course you can.
So if you correct a misdeed, how much more so should be able to correct a misdavening?
Very
good. That well, we'll understand what it says over there. Lost the place again. As Damin Hamamayna Kaiman the Levushin, that it'll happen from him, and he'll be he'll have the garments Hamamayna Al Levushim. And some of the other possibilities. One is Kayamim Halavushim. The other Nusach is Mamayna Al Halavushim. He'll be able to cause the garments to exist as if inside the parenthesis. And Mamayna Al Halavushim, or the other one is Azdamin HaMamayna. Garments that close the soul. Halavushim, Halavushim, and Hashem HaMamayna HaMitzvahs. So in this second chamber, which is talked about in the Zohar, so there you have the garments which enclose the soul, that every time a person does a mitzvah, so they receive another garment to their soul. And every time a person learns, they're putting on like another layer of protection for the soul. And where is that coming from? So he gives a GPS Kabbalistic point. Even though they're both in the lower level, but at least they're in Gan Eden already. So Hine, now wrapping up. Tvila psula adifa mamish. So it says davening, a non-davening, is for sure better than learning for the wrong reason. Because the learning that he learns for the wrong reason is under the sun, it's fallen into klippa, whereas the person that davened, the non-davening, so his still davening is still up in heaven. But a person's just learning without kavana, and what's propelling him to learn is just this natural love that he has. Light nira behechel peya pihen shel tinukas, light nira mehevel pihen shel tinukas shel beis rabban, disalik le'elim pnei shuhu hevel she'ein b'chait. Okay, so it says, what is a kid learning? Kid's learning, does he have kavanas? He's
no.
Trying to misyachid yichudim, he's no, unifying the shemus of Hashem. He's learning, stam to learn, that's why right. A kid is learning.
Yeah.
And even if it is, as he says, Mamash Meyirish Ratsu Shabiyat, a safer. At least if a kid's worried, I'm going to learn, I shouldn't get hit by the teacher for not learning. So that's still called learning for no ulterior motive.
Right.
That's why it says that the angels elevate the learning, the breath of the small children that are learning Torah, they are elevated to Atzilus, because there is no sin there. But the point he wanted to make over here, which I skipped over, sorry, is that when a person is just learning Stam, so there's no Avera there either. He's not doing anything wrong.
No.
He's not doing something right, but when you're not doing anything wrong, there's no negative consequences.
Right.
He's not doing anything wrong. He's learning. Okay, he's learning Stam. But learning Stam is not called wrong.
Right.
Learning Shalom Lishma is called wrong. Learning Stam, learning just plain, is called plain. So the Malachim also, therefore, since there's nothing wrong with it, it's not being sunk into Klippa, so the Malachim can elevate that as well. I hope this was understood. To be continued.